Good morning, saints, and happy Easter. We will continue this morning for our call to worship, our meditations upon the attributes of God that we've been working through for the past several months, I believe. And this morning, we'll be contemplating the goodness of God. And in contemplating the goodness of God, we're moving from contemplating the incommunicable attributes of God, those attributes of God which make him completely unique by category. For example, his immutability. God does not change. He's also the only one who does not change. His immensity. He fills all places, and he's the only one who fills all places. And though God is good, there are many other goods that exist in God's creation. And for this reason, this attribute is called a communicable attribute. It's an attribute that God communicates from himself and shares with his creatures. And it can be sort of thought of as the fundamental communicable attribute of God. Because as we begin to go through the other attributes of God that I know Pastor Jerry has in store for the next several weeks, you'll note that unlike all the attributes that we've discussed before, these are things that people can share. He will talk about love and justice and things like that. And we all know human beings who are very loving and who have executed justice, however imperfectly. It still certainly happens in the world. And many of these other goods that Pastor will talk about, perhaps the beauty of God and these other things, well, there's many other things in creation that share these attributes with God. And so it's important for us to keep that in mind as we begin to contemplate these attributes, because it changes how we ought to respond to the contemplation of these things. What ought we to do given that God is good, that God is love, that God is justice? So let's think about that today with God's goodness in mind. First, God is not just good, he is the good. He is the ultimate good. He's the only one who can truly, without qualification, be called good. We'll all remember what the Lord Jesus said to the rich young ruler. Why do you call me good? Only one is good, that is God. And in some way, he's referring to this idea. Of course, Jesus would be considered a good man, and many of the teachers of his day, even who were sinners, unlike the Lord Jesus, could have been called good men. They were relatively good men compared to those around them. But yet, in some sense, Jesus says it's not right to call anyone good except for God himself. And that's because God is the only one who is absolutely good, and he is goodness itself. Anything in creation that is good in some way, whether it's beautiful or righteous or helpful, in whatever way that it may be good, it receives that goodness from God. That goodness that any of us may have, however imperfect, the goodness that we do have has its source in God himself. And that goodness is upheld by God himself. So without God supplying that goodness to the creature, it would be gone. It would disappear. And whatever good things exist in creation, God delights in them because of their resemblance to him. God being the ultimate good, he delights ultimately in himself. And as his creatures, we ought to delight in that which is the ultimate good, God himself. And so these good things that God has made in the world, God delights in them because of their resemblance to him. With these ideas as a foundation, that God is the ultimate good, that all good things come from him. You'll remember the teaching of James that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. So all goodness comes from God, and God delights in the goodness present in creation. When we think about these things, it gives us cause to act. It gives us cause to believe and live differently. First, especially those of you here who are not believers, contemplate this. God's goodness extends to more individuals than his mercy does. God's goodness extends to more than his mercy does. And by God's mercy, I'm referring to the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Certainly, God is merciful to all by not executing his judgment upon all of us the moment that we first sin. But that's not what I have in mind with mercy. That's more what I have in mind with goodness. God is good to all, believer and unbeliever. Unbelievers have food upon their tables, as do believers. Unbelievers have good marriages, as do believers. People enjoy many good things regardless of their relationship to God in this life. And certainly having a right relationship with God enhances our ability to enjoy these good things. But nevertheless, we must confess that God is good to the just and to the unjust. However, God has not forgiven the sins of each and every man and woman. So do not assume, as many do today, that God's goodness to you is a sign of his mercy. Many will say, well, I have a good job. I have plenty of money. My kids have grown up and moved out of the house. They're well adjusted, whatever it may be. Or I just have many young children that have been given to me. Certainly God has no controversy with me because I have all these good things and true blessings from the Lord. Do not be deceived by the spirit of this age that God's abundant goodness to you, however great it may be, is a sign that he's been merciful. He is merciful to many who have very little, and there are many who have very much in this world who will lose all of it and perish in hell. Further, don't abuse God's goodness by continuing in sin. The kindness of God is meant to lead us to repentance. Look at the good gifts that God has given you, unbeliever, and weep and mourn over the goodness, the good things that God has given to you, despite your many sins against him, and repent. Turn from your sins and look to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now to the believers here, imitate God's goodness. This contemplation of the goodness of God being communicated to all things in creation and God delighting in those things because of that reflection, as it were, of his own nature, should be a great motivator for our own obedience. One is not merely conforming to arbitrary rules or following helpful life advice or just being a good man or woman when we obey God's law. One is growing in one's resemblance to God when one obeys God's law. Those good things, those virtues that are grown in us as we grow in our conformity to Christ are things that God delights in because they come from him and are shared with us. And so as we grow in our imperfect obedience to the Lord, but obedience nonetheless, there is a real sense in which God delights in those good things that we do because they reflect his nature. So whatever goodness we have comes from the Lord, and it is his goodness. So let us be imitators of his goodness, that we might be pleasing to the Lord. Finally, let's worship God for his goodness this morning. Everything in creation which we love, whether it's nature or art, our families, justice, beauty, strength, whatever it may be, has its loveliness from God itself. Whatever's lovely about that thing is more lovely in God. It's just meant to be a sign that lifts your eyes up toward heaven to contemplate who God is when we see something beautiful or strong or true. And then he is more lovely than any of these things can ever be. They're just mere imperfect shadows of his true nature. So when you think on all these things, think about all the great things in this world that you love. Beautiful sunsets, delicious food, whatever it may be. God is better than all of those things put together and far and above all of those things put together. And this particular morning, we can think in particular of his great goodness, which he's shown to us in raising our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. One who temporarily God was not good to when he hung upon the cross, but whose goodness was restored to him in raising him from the dead, and through him, all of those good things can come to us from God with a relationship with God, with the forgiveness of our sins and true fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So think on these things as we worship this morning. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day. We thank you for gathering us together here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you especially, Father, for raising your Son, the Lord Jesus, from the dead all those many years ago, for our justification, for our eternal life, for our salvation as a whole. Lord, please send your Holy Spirit to meet with us this morning, that our hearts might be filled to overflowing with love, that we might offer a fervent sacrifice of praise through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.